You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Transition here, I just see in the spirit an exchange happening. I see an exchange happening as we lay down and surrender our lives to Him more and more and more. That He's just taking different burdens, different weights off of us. As we submit and surrender ourselves to Him. He's our burden bearer. He's the one that carries that which weighs us down. So the great exchange is happening right now in the spirit, so just step into that. But it comes at the place of surrender. Expectant to see what you're going to do today. How you're going to that touch us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, yeah, the Lord is good. Shushi asked me if there was anything I wanted to say, and I just want to say, the Lord is good. He's really, really good. And for me, I know that we can touch on it or lose sight of it, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. But I'm just amazed that we are able, obviously through the Lord and His heart and His presence, to see the world change just by coming before His throne and worshiping Him, and He just connects us. Amen.
God is good. One more thing. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Before Pastor Bill preaches this morning, just a little report on our little Juliana victory. He's 1 week old today. I have the mic, so I'm going to say it. And she's adorable. So I think Josh and the boys are here today, and I'm sure we'll see Christy and Juliana at some point. And she had her first bath. Thank you, Judah. You can tell this is a family place, right? Amen. We have a variety of little video clips and pictures we want you guys to see. You don't miss it before Pastor Bill gives a preaching here. So I don't know what you have first. Is this Pastor Jose? Okay. Pastor Jose, just even on the way to church this morning, was sending some things for you guys all to see, to enjoy. And here are the Sisa boys winning the Maputo Cup. Woohoo! Come on. Take a look at that. These are the guys, the ragtag, you might think, ragtag guys. Come on, guys. This picture deserves your attention. This is the Maputo Cup. These guys, is this amazing? This is amazing. He's so excited about that. And so the Sisa boys are growing. Look at this. Yeah. Remember them last year and the year before? They keep growing. They keep getting taller than Pastor Jose. But look at this. That is really spectacular. Praise the Lord. Can we give a big thank you to Jesus? So the Lord's moving even in the midst of all kinds of wild things that have happened to Pastor Jose and the ministry. You get hits and then you win the Maputo Cup. You know, it's like, this is God. God is so good. He's always saying, focus on me, focus on the good, and I'll show you how to move the evil out of the way in Jesus' name. And that's what he's doing. So praise the Lord. These are pictures now. Pastor Jose is making the bricks. So these are bricks that he has made, and they've been on his property. So they are being constructed. This is the back of the church. Check this out. And this wall fell over. If I got the text right, you know, this is my media world here, fell over several times. Unless it's the wall in the front, but it just kept falling over and falling over and falling over, and then you just keep rebuilding and rebuilding. It's very prophetic. So these are the bricks, and he wanted you to see that. And there's the front. There's the front of the church. And so it's coming. It's really turning a corner, and this is with all the materials that they had on the property, and then some cement and monies that have been sent to enable him. And this is what is seen from the main road. So nothing stops a crazy wildfire firebrand who is in love with Jesus. Nothing will stop no matter what the enemy tries. And it's just really encouraging. Pastor Jose just keeps on going with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And the few that are around him, few but mighty, very few, and you're part of it. And also, these are through the funds that were raised through Relentless Pursuit, that which he was able to still have. Some of it was stolen. And this money was then used to be able to help Linda begin her extension of her business. This is the new sewing, embroidery sewing machine. This is amazing. This is through your giving and others giving. And thank you that those who would help replenish what the enemy tried to wreck and steal and kill and destroy. And he just keeps going. So praise the Lord. So Linda will be able to do embroidery and all kinds of things on this wild machine. It's not a little thing. And then be able to expand her business, Rose of Sharon Creation. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. I think we have a couple of those pictures. Did we show them all? Amen. Okay. So I'm very excited about that. I'm getting dinged right now. I just keep getting sent things, I think. I don't know. We need to spread this out. But I'm not sure who this is yet. So let's go to the next. We have, let's show Amanda. Amanda from Brazil. Before you play it, but put her up, Amanda and all of our Brazil family, all of our Brazil team, Frontline Brazil team, and also a couple more, went out on the streets on Friday night for Carnival. And instead of staying in and just praying through it, which has also been very effective over the years, they took a bunch and they went out in the with the fire of God, and they stayed out all night till 4 a.m. They were praying and interceding in such a Inez's before, and then she sent them out, and they went out with a variety of people in the streets. So it's very, very strong and powerful. So she has a little video clip. You can play.
O amor de Deus, as pessoas foram tocadas, as pessoas foram curadas, gente. As pessoas foram alcançadas, impactadas pelo amor de Deus, gente. E nós carregamos esse amor, né? Então, quem somos nós para guardar?
She's pretty excited. And she said to tell you that everyone was touched by the love of Jesus. And she was talking about the love of Jesus. Maybe you could figure some of the words. And they had healings on the street. They had never done this to this degree. We have with them. But for them to go out and do this, Janiel Hyla did not go, but the others all went. Isn't that amazing? And they met up with a few others that they know. And so they had some healings. They had one man with a long leg they grew it out, which means that there was a change in the bone structure somewhere in the hips, or the leg got longer, but we talk about it and say, the leg grew out. Well, however that looks, it looks like the leg pops out. We've seen it many times ourselves. And so they saw that on the street, and they saw other healings too. So I'm sure we'll have more pictures, but this is what we got from Amanda. So life is increasing. There's been a wildfire that was unleashed when you guys were there. We were all there together, so thank you again. This week we sent out to Frontline Worship Center, and also to our team, our Brazil team within Frontline Worship Center. So everybody got it. But we sent out the video from last week. We took a video of all the testimonies. And as I was watching it and thinking about it also, it's like, oh my gosh, there are a lot of releases of destiny in there. So it's really important, if you weren't here or if you want to remind yourself, to watch it if you can take the time for that. And I think it began with a prayer, and then someone had a song, and that someone was Jamie, and Darlene was leading worship. I'm not sure how much is on there, but I do know on the audio there's more worship of what Darlene was leading with her team last week prophetically. It was very powerful. But as far as the actual video, which I think both will be posted, if not, are they both posted on the web podcast? Audio's posted on the podcast. And we sent out the video to you guys, which is, you know, not for Facebook or anything like that. It's in-house. It's for you. And there was a smaller crew last week. And so we want to make sure everybody has an opportunity for that. And also to catch the vision. Ask the Lord, what are you saying? You know, because he really did release a lot last week through the testimonies and the song and prayer and everything else. So watch it all the way to the end. Amen? And then we have a few more pictures. These are the India pictures. Yeah. Okay, Pastor Jacob. Yes, he has a video for us. We went to a place in Punjab. We went to 5 states last year within a 3-week period of time. It was a wild mission experience. Wild is an understatement. It was like going on three different mission trips at the same time. And so this is a little bit different, what's coming up this year. Those who are interested and have talked with people will have some more idea of that. We are going to be connecting with Pastor Benjamin really strongly on this trip, and we have some other ideas in mind too. So we're very, very excited about it and moving forward on what's going on there. So he sent what happened this past month, I think it was, when he was back in Punjab, and he went to 38 places, 36 of which I believe were brand new. So he's going to unreached people groups. He's going to places. The place last year, and I don't remember the name, it's probably, I'll find it here. Oh, these Indian names. I will find it. But anyway, we went to this place where there was a big storm, and that we were preaching and then just using the little light on our cell phone to be able to have some light. It was a wild, wild night, and we're within a handful of meters, like less than 20 meters from Pakistan. So that he went back to that place. It was very cold, and this is a little video explaining or just showing that. And he was so moved by this community of about 2,000 that he felt the Lord say, start a school here. These kids are not going to school. There's a distant government, not very good at all, by law has to be there type of school somewhere. But the kids they're not going, and it's not a good school. So he felt compelled to do something. So it's very raw to start a new school there, and eventually wants to go to 10 other villages and do this, so that these kids can learn to read and read the Bibles to their parents and obviously have a new lease on life as well, to know the Word and know the Lord through the Word as well. So he is raising, you know, awareness, so to speak. Those who want to sow into that, please see us, because it's very good. They're starting real raw with your basic, you know, smaller than small chalkboard with some basic books. And they're going to commit to it and see what the people do. They're going to back it up for a year and see what they do. But these 2,000 people are just so excited. There's 200 kids that will meet in open air, close to the area, the courtyard, where we had our refreshments after we preached. Those of you who were there last year will remember it. So that's what this video is about. So they're on their way. It's a very desolate area. It's part of the poorest of the poor areas of India. It's very desolate. That's where he goes. So it's not pretty and mountainous. And always look at the scenery. It's kind of dull and drab and ugly, but functional in the sense that they're living. But there aren't a lot of jobs. The literacy rate is about 15%. It's very, very literacy rate, so they're very illiterate. We'll be turning the corner. This might look familiar to those who were with us last year. So it rains. It was raining there. It was very cold. It's a very desperate place. At this point, we won't be going back there this year. We'll be going more in the central area of India. So we're going to be turning a corner. See in the distance, see those towers? That's Pakistan. So he's given very specifics for the cost. He broke it down. He's very particular. There he is. So it must be right through there. That's where they're going. Okay, there's some more pictures, I believe. Okay, this is Jyoti. I believe this is Jyoti. Is that the one? I hope I'm right. But one of the girls, if it's not, there's a girl, it's Jyoti, that was in the children's home back when the children's home was operating before he went to prison. And there was also a teacher that's coming in from Nepal. So I'm not sure if that's it. But this is an example of what they do there. Very desolate, very, very basic. That's what's her name? Yes, but the girl. What's her name? Troy Lawrence. Remember her name? She's a short girl who was. I can't think of her name, but I know her. Okay. But that's what they're doing. That's basic. That's what they're going to do to start. Yeah. We know these people from Punjab. And there we are now going. hang on. We'll get back to Pastor Samal in just a minute. But these are the people up there. And sorry I don't have all the names. He just sent me all kinds of pictures, all kinds of testimonies, all kinds of healings. Yeah, amazing things. And he doesn't wear a turban, but he put one on because that's what the Pakistani Christians wear, the Pakistans wear, and the Pakistani Christians too. So there they are. Is that the last one? But he's been invited to the royal family. I don't know who. I don't know what. But there was a serious blood disease that someone in the royal family, he went to them in India, royal family in India, and they were instantly healed on the spot. So all of the healings for that he says, Jesus is healing everybody everywhere he goes. This is no exaggeration. He doesn't exaggerate. So going into a village, they're all healed. Someone has a deadly disease, blood cancer, he goes to the hospital, they're healed. So the anointing has really increased in this last year. It's amazing. Amazing testimonies. Okay, now, as of we just talked to Pastor Samuel yesterday, and Pastor Samuel, Mama Vera Nisaki, and his fiance Nana are all together in Connecticut right now. That's actually in New York, or was in New York when they first met, and I believe they're together now in Connecticut, or at least Nisaki's there. So Nisaki and Nana are coming together for to be wed at the beginning of February, an African wedding, and it's a family-oriented African wedding. And Mama Vera and Pastor Samuel are very excited, and they're staying. They're not staying at what was the name of that place that the name of the hotel that we was it Hotel Kumbaya. I said, "This is not Hotel Kumbaya." And he said, "No." So they're staying, and they're very happy, very excited about that, and they'll be coming here. They'll be staying here for a short time, a week or two, we didn't solidify everything yesterday. We were talking about other things and praying. So he's very excited, says, "Send my love to my family in Ohio." So it's Pastor Samuel from Ghana and Mama Vera. Hello. Do I have any other pictures back there? That was it? Okay. Many other things are going on. We tried to keep it short, but these are some of the things that I was receiving. So Pastor Bill has a message here. I can say, let me just read this one thing. A woman from America named Amy is coming tomorrow for prayer to our house. She's a missionary working, this is Pastor Benjamin, working for the past month in Nepal. She has multiple sclerosis, many other serious ailments, can't run, can't eat wheat, milk, products, etc. She was crying. Jesus will set her free. So many mighty works happening, wave after wave, the power of Jesus is setting people free everywhere. I stand dazed in awe of all that Jesus is doing. What an incredibly wonderful life we live in Jesus. What a joy to follow Jesus. Churches are overflowing now in the places that we all went. They are worshiping God in open fields as the halls cannot even accommodate them. He says, my task is to pray and reach out, increasing, and it's increasing day by day by day. Each day is packed so tight. Also, the time I take to pray and intercede has also increased manifold. Please pray for strength. I am loving it to see the kingdom of God expanding so marvelously, and pray that I will have resources to reach out more. And also pray that I may lead a life 100% pleasing to Jesus, to be untouched by the world in every way, 24/7. I mean, that's truly the cry of his heart. That's truly the desire of him. And his last request is, please pray for wisdom and a heart of humility, a servant heart. So I'm always encouraged when I read from Pastor Benjamin, because he really models this. You know, we're all imperfect people on a journey, but he really does model that. And so his lifestyle shows it. And he's always thinking of others before himself, and he lives that lifestyle, puts that first. So, Father, I just lift up Pastor Benjamin and all our beautiful friends overseas, and all the Brazilians and Ghanaians and Mozambicans. We have also something from Tanya. And also, Father, the Indians here and those in Indonesia and other things, Father, other places and other people. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you're zeroing in what you would want to have done. And when we preached overseas in Brazil, Father, that was a desire of our heart there, and we're seeing it explode, and that's the desire wherever we go. So we thank you, Father, for opening up new realms, new territories, new regions, new countries, new places, God. Thank you for putting those places on our hearts, and thank you for making them happen and come to pass. Thank you for expanding us here. Thank you for our family and friends overseas. And we just thank you, Lord. You know what you're doing. We just give you the glory, and we give you the praise. And we thank you, Lord. You know what you're doing. May we cooperate with your plan and your way. In Jesus' name. And so real quickly, wasn't there something from Tanya? Andy? I don't think she has it. Oh, okay. Tanya Takalau went to Mozambique with us. She's a spiritual daughter from Indonesia. And she was there 2013, 14, and 15. And she's been in really close contact in recent weeks and months. Yesterday, over the weekend, just a lot of things going on. She's currently in Manado. And those of us who've been in Manado, which is not the island of Jakarta, but Manado, she's there with some of her family. And her grandmother, Ibu Widodo, is flying in today. And Tanya is there. And they're going to go to Sulawesi, and they're going to go into the schools. And they're going to have crusades in the schools and other crusades, I'm not sure. So that's what they're doing. So what's going on? There's Tanya and her baby, Ishka, and Roy is her husband. So we've not seen her since 2015, but she sends her love to everyone. Were there any other pictures? Was that it? That's all I sent? Okay. All right. We'll have more of a report. We know we'll be going back to Indonesia. We're asking the Lord the exact moment that is the best. The Lord's doing many things on many fronts. And Shekinah glory is still alive and well in Ibu Widodo's place for those who were there, who have been there in the past. In Jesus' name. Okay. Wait, well, let me just check. There's another. Oh, boy. 1 second. This is from Pastor Jose, and he's taking... Oh, yes, our team, this is real time. Our mission team that needs to come together to support this, to help, is being put together right now because it's critical in a good way. Okay, let me see. This is a little bit more. I don't want to tell him that we only could get a couple of them, right? This is all about the CISA boys. He said... Okay, Andy, and this was the town council that was there for this. I don't really know what that means, but we'll see when you show it. So are you able to? Okay. All right, so he's showing more pictures of the boys getting their medals, winning the Maputo Cup, and, excuse me, so the expansion for CISA is upon us. And what Pastor Jose said this week was to me, he goes, MP, now is the time. This is the time. So he has plans to go to the government and finish what needs to be done for our land on the sea. So this is the time. He said, this is the time for CISA. This is the time for that. Please tell Frontline, do not lose hope. He says, everything happens in God's time, and this is it. So he was very strong about it. So I don't know how long it takes to... trying to think of what else I can tell you. Are they up? Tell me when.
Qual é o segredo?
Alegria!
Qual é o segredo?
Alegria!
Qual é o segredo?
Alegria!
Fala, Marta!
Wow, look at that. These are young boys off the streets from indigent homes, different places. Look at them. Oh, the town council is there supporting these winners. Oh, this is amazing. So amazing. This is so amazing. Goodness, makes me cry. He says, now is the time. And now the Lord is bringing them up front and center for people to see them, to celebrate, to get behind it. The church is almost completed. Monies have just recently been sent to enable him to do that, to open the doors, he's hoping. So it's very important. And once that step was taken, the rest is just going to come as domino effect. We're believing. So this is very exciting for Pastor Jose and Mama Linda. And they've been through a lot for many years and decades, actually. And they're running after the dream, and we're supporting that. We're part of it. So they see us as mama and papa and family together with them through this. It's a very big deal. It's not a small thing. And the enemy's tried to destroy it numerous times on both fronts, here and abroad. And the enemy can't win because Jesus is, he's the winner man. So praise the Lord for that. And these boys are being raised as missionaries, as they're also going to have a skill. In this CISA compound, they will be trained. They will live there. There will be places for us to live, to come, to visit, or to live, or whatever God does. And there will be a soccer stadium. There will be, it's a huge parcel of land, 60 hectares. Yes, 60 hectares, I believe. And then more land was given to him a year or so ago. So God is on the move here, and this is a great big move for Mozambique, even in the middle of the two cyclones that didn't hit this area, but it very much hit the entire nation, and it was a huge thing. So this is a very big deal for the people there and for the nation of Mozambique, and these guys are going to be sent out as missionaries in Mozambique and around the world. So it's no small thing that you've, you know, connected your heart with and your prayers and finances and stuff. So God bless you guys. Children, you're released, and they're running out going, "Woo!" Amen.
Wanted to stay here and hear my message. You're taking her away.
Well, Joe, you're heading out for a while, right? I think we want to extend our hands to Joe. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing?
I'm headed to Newport, Rhode Island for Officer Candidate School for the Navy. A little over a month, yeah.
A little over a month. So, you know, he's going to Rhode Island, and this is the... And this is, you know, the heart of it all, and you're leaving the heart of it all for a little over a month. We need to pray for you. Father, we just extend our hands to Joe. Lord, we just love you, Jesus, that you're with us wherever we go. We just pray in every way you would support Joe in every aspect of this training, God. And God, you would help him to be a light. God, you would give him those divine appointments. We know they'll be there. Prepare his heart for those, God. Let him see this as a mission. Let him see this not just as training by the military, but training by you. And let him come back changed by that training of Holy Spirit as much as the military. And God, we just thank you for this opportunity for him. And we're praying, God, for Michelle. And God, we just thank you, God, that you're going to support her, God. You're going to bring peace to her, Father, while Joe's away, God. And Jacob, Father, we thank you, Jesus. You're with this little family in every way. And God, you're going to provide what's needed spiritually, emotionally, physically, Father, in every way, God. You're going to support. You're going to come in. You're going to be those 700 names and titles during this period of time. And Lord, we pray it would go by quickly and that Joe would receive everything he's supposed to receive while he's there, but also give out to those that, Father, are coming from other places. And God, they have far less connection with you and they need his voice in their life. Help him to be prepared, on the alert, ready to be a watchman on the wall, ready to pray, ready to reach out, God, to those who would express right off their sleeves their need of you, their need of more of you. God, express their confusion or express their fears or express whatever they do to him, God, that he would see that. He'd be on alert and ready to pray in, to take the opportunity to be bold. God, only you can make him bold. Only you can make any of us bold in Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you would bring that boldness to him. And while he's away, that you'd bring the boldness to Michelle. Father, Jacob's already got that down, so Father, we thank you for that. Well, we just pray for Michelle, God, that she would, in working with the judge, God, that she would have new boldness. And Father, their separation wouldn't mean that they would be weaker, but they would be stronger because you're going to come and support them in two different locations. You're going to multiply their ministry, God, in two different locations, Father. We bless this little family. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for their witness in other countries as they've gone before. And now, God, during this month, we pray that Jesus would be more real than ever, that he'd be closer than ever because they both invite him in, God, to be closer and to give them what they need during this period of time. We give you all the praise. We honor you, God. We bless them. We bless them. We bless them. We bless them. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So if the Lord gives you a word for Michelle or Joe or both of them, Father, we're going to trust that you're going to have each person here give what they get from Holy Spirit to them now, not after the time, and say, oh, I forgot to tell you. A month ago, I had a word for you, but I forgot to tell you. If you receive a word from the Lord for them, please give it to them before he takes off for Rhode Island. Remember, Rhode Island. He's not in Ohio. You know, we got to pray. Keep praying. Well, I think I'll pray for the message. Might be needed. Father, we just cry out to you, Lord. It's just so amazing that you asked me to give a message that in some places it doesn't seem like it's working real well right now. Some parts of the body, it's just not working real well right now. So, Father, in my weakness, in my not understanding so much about this topic, God, in these days, these challenging days of 2020, God, that you would inspire, strengthen, give joy, completely overwhelm each of us, Father, with your desire to give us a future and a hope that's amazing. Each person, God. We thank you, Lord, that you already have given us a future and a hope up to this point. If we're still standing, if we're still in the race to go to the finish line and break the tape, you already have given us part of the future and part of the hope. We thank you for that, God, with grateful hearts, crying out in joy and gratefulness over a little bundle, Father, delivered a week ago to our family, God. I take this as no little gift. It is a little gift, but it's a big gift from you. We thank you, Jesus, for her life. We pray for the lives of each of the children here, God. They are the future generation that will take the earth. God, we have to take it, take the baton as far as we can take it, and then we're going to be turning it over to them. God, they are the generation. They are the generation that's going to be so radical that they're going to be able to take all the onslaughts of the enemy. They're going to be so radical that they'll stand when others fall. They're going to be so radical, Father, that they will be a voice of righteousness in the last days. We thank you for every little life in this house and every little life we're connected to, God. We pray they'd go after Jesus and that we'd be part of that. We'd be a strong part of that in every way. And for the little lives that are coming, God, yes, there are going to be more. God, we just pray that, pray them in, pray their safety, not only through the birth canal, but in the birthing, Father, for the earth. We know you're in charge of all these things, and we need to pay attention and be on the alert. Put us on the alert today, God, through Holy Spirit, speaking to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a quote today. I think it'll flash up here. Look at that. I'm prophetic. Would you rather have a future generation remember you as part of their ancestry or part of their legacy? You know, you can just be born, live a life, and die, and you'll be remembered as an ancestor someday. You'll just, you know, maybe people will search you out on websites, ancestry websites. And they'll say, wow, this was the day they were born. I have their birth certificate. Right here in front of me, off this website. They had it on the website. I made a copy of it. Wow, I have their death certificate right here in front of me. They lived a life of 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. In Pastor Murray Pat's case, 120 years. Okay, and so here it is, birth certificate. Oh, and their marriage certificate. I have it right here, a copy of it in my hands. And they could look at that and say, wow, they did this in life, they did that in life, family members that led to me. Wow, this is incredible to look at all this family history, family ancestry. But what if they had that and they said, that's not that exciting. What's exciting to me is they left a legacy of Jesus in our family. They had to fight through the unbelief up to that point in their family line. And they were in a place where people weren't even excited about Jesus. But he touched their heart and they became on fire, even though people around them in the family and otherwise, the churches around where they grew up, they weren't on fire, but God touched them, they received that touch, and they were on fire, and they took it from there. And they made disciples. Not only in our family, they made disciples in other families. They made disciples in other nations. They made disciples on the streets of Canton and on the streets of Maslin. And they carried on the truth and the gospel of Jesus everywhere they went. And they did it for a lifetime. And at the end of their life, they broke the tape and they praised Jesus on the day that they died, that he had brought them to that point. And they knew, they could just sense it was time to meet the one that they had served, the one they had loved, the one who let them be in his family. And I'm so glad that I know about that, that that was written down in their notebooks, in their journals, in their diaries, or better yet, it's on their cell phone. And I have everything from that time, texts, emails, everything. They downloaded it to me before they passed away. And I have that entire history of how they dealt with people, how they loved through persecution, how they loved when others rejected them. But they did it for Jesus, and they knew he was the one that deserved the honor and the glory, that they couldn't get too wound up in being rejected Because he said, you're going to be rejected. You follow me, you're going to be rejected. And so they just plowed through that to the end. They broke the tape. And now I have videos and memories of them preaching the gospel in different parts of the earth. And our children, their children were affected. Their grandchildren. And I'm one of them. I'm one of the grandchildren. And I just am so amazed at the legacy that they left. That's a different deal, isn't it? That's a pretty high calling. But sometimes as we go along day to day, we forget that that's what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be not only building ourselves up in Jesus, learning as much about him as possible, stepping into the presence, worship, developing our relationship with him, but that's supposed to be transferred to others. We talked about this on Wednesday night, or Tuesday night. Sorry, wrong church. Tuesday night. And wineskins, old and new wineskins. Old wineskin, you know, you just come to church. You're a church attender. You fill your spot in that church, and someone mentioned sometimes it's the same spot every week. And if somebody else sits in that spot, look out. You know, it's like, that's my seat. Someone's sitting in my seat. It gets to the place where it's such an old wineskin that we even have a seat in the church that's ours, a particular chair that we call our own. And we challenged one another that we don't want to enter into 2020 any further with old wineskins. We want to set those aside, and we want new wineskins, and let the wine come into it from the Holy Spirit and let it flow out of it. Not cinch the top with the strings and keep it and like, oh, this is so awesome to be soaking in the Lord. But soak and go, as we've heard before. Let the river flow. Let the wine flow from the new wineskin to others and affect their lives. Well, obviously, that would include discipling people. You know, I think, you know, the Lord just gave me one word for this message. I wish he would have given me a little bit more. But he gave me one word, and it was legacy. That we're not doing these things just because it's in the Bible and we should and we're obedient to God and we're trying to please Jesus. Not only that, that's a good thing, but because there are those needing that legacy to touch their lives and our families, friends, and people here in this body. And so what does that mean? We need to take responsibility over the care and concern for someone else's life. And that doesn't mean, oh, I just heard a rumor about the leadership. I think I'll pass that on. That's not a legacy. That's not a legacy. Oh, I just think that they're not doing it the right way, but I won't approach them. I'll approach everybody else. Eh, that's not a legacy. That's cowardly. Not a legacy. So we want to build, as we have from the beginning of Frontline, we want to build disciples, make disciples, and become disciple makers. We don't just want to, you know, make disciples that kind of fizzle out. And that takes a little bit of a pool, doesn't it? Of people. So it's going to have to be outside of this body that we're going to meet people. We're going to say, Lord, what do you want me to give them? You'll probably first say the gospel, a testimony, a word from me, something from my heart to their heart. If we ask Holy Spirit, he'll tell us exactly what to give to each person that he puts in front of us. It may not be the same. I used to think, wow, if I just give them the bridge illustration, if I just give them the four spiritual laws, that's a good thing. But I've learned sometimes they need to hear about my healing with my body. Something that happened to in my body that came against me and I was healed of it. Some people need to hear that as their first introduction of a witness of Jesus. And it transforms them to the point that they're open to the gospel. sometimes we need to realize, not sometimes, all the time, we need to realize people are watching our lives. You could have relatives in Rhode Island or, you know, out there in the east somewhere. Some of you do. They're watching your life from there. Some may have relatives in Colombia. They're watching your life. Oh, can they see it day to day? No, but they hear. They're still following Jesus. They're getting closer to Jesus. That's part of our witness, is continuing after the Lord to such a radical degree that our family members hear about it and they are changed. Maybe not that day, but somewhere in the process, because they're watching our lives from afar. They're checking to see if we're still following Jesus. I'll never forget the guy that I roomed with in high school, because I went away to a private school for 2 years, the last 2 years of high school, and we had dorms. And I stayed with this guy, and, you know, we were not Christians at the time. We graduated. We weren't Christians. I went on to 1 year of college. I wasn't a Christian. But then during that summer of after my freshman year, I became a believer. And so he heard about that. I was at Western Michigan University. He was at Eastern Michigan University. We didn't even have that much contact. And yet he heard about the fact I'd become a believer. And he decided to make the trip from Ypsilanti over to Kalamazoo. Now think of some of these names. Ypsilanti over to Kalamazoo. So he pulls in for the weekend. He's planning on spending the weekend. And he says, so what's going on in your life? I don't understand this. Myself, I'm a Buddhist. Now, I knew he wasn't. He didn't know the first thing about Buddhism. Had no idea. But I didn't, you know, I didn't say, no, you're not. I didn't say, okay, you know, tell me a little bit about it, because he wouldn't have been able to. He just wanted a wall to put up. And he figured his own lifestyle, I knew him too well, so his own lifestyle wasn't a strong enough wall. So why not just pick a religion and add it to the wall and put it up as high as possible? That's a good idea. Well, Woody, it's not a good idea, because, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. So then he said, so what do you believe? And I tell him about Jesus. And he starts to get more agitated. And he starts to get more upset. He runs out of my dorm room and runs to his car. He's going to cut the weekend short just over my testimony. Now, I could look at that two different ways. I don't know how to give a good testimony. Or it was so powerful that it did something inside of him. So I chased him down to his car, and I tried to plead with him. And he says, you look at me as if I'm Satan. I said, no, I don't. I never even mentioned Satan in my testimony. I'm arguing with him at his car on a college campus whether I'm accusing him of being Satan. And so he drives off. He called me a few years later, said, hey, how you doing? And it was like he wanted to know if I was still following Jesus. That was the whole reason for the phone call. He could have cared less what was happening with my family. He could have cared less what happened with my career. He just wanted to know, are you still following Jesus? And he said, yeah, in fact, you know, this, and this in my life at that point. I don't know what he would think if he called today. But anyway, back then, it was like, you know, yeah, I'm still after his heart, still learning from the Bible, still going after things, ministering, different things. And he didn't call again. And I've, you know, been in touch with him online a little bit here and there. He was part of the Army band. And that, I didn't realize, you can go as far as a sergeant in the Army band. And so he graduated, or, you know, left his career in the Army band as a sergeant. That was the highest rank that you could achieve, and he achieved it and did incredible things, like, you know, open up the World's Fair with Ronald Reagan as the president, and he's a stone's throw from him as he's playing his trumpet, and, you know, different things like that. Had some amazing things happen to him, but he's just going to be giving his family an ancestry if he doesn't grab onto Jesus. I'm going to be giving my family and my spiritual family a legacy. And how did that happen? I just kept going in Jesus. I just kept saying, yes, I'm open to take the responsibility over a person, to build them up in the faith. Oh, have I done it perfectly? Absolutely not. Could I think of, oh, wow, I could have done more in this area and that area and this area and that area for a person? Absolutely. You always feel that way. But Jesus, fortunately, makes up all the difference, and he's the one that's really discipling them. We're just vessels. We're just used in that process. Holy Spirit's the one that's discipling them. He's the one taking the full responsibility over a person. We're just used in that process. We're just volunteering to be his hands and feet in that process. But those that survive the process and actually run the race to break the tape at the end, those are the ones that get the full benefit of being a disciple. Think of what happened with Jesus. He starts preaching in John 6 about being the blood. You know, you need to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And they're like, what kind of cult is this? I'm a disciple of a cannibal. And they, you know, was so freaking them out as Jewish people, they left him. A big mass of disciples, it says, just left. Just took off over one of his messages. So please, don't do that to me today. Don't take off and blame this message. Please don't. Please don't. But it happened to Jesus. He gave a message, and a whole bunch of his disciples took off. There are times where it says he's speaking to a large group of disciples. Well, let's see, that's beyond the 12 then. And other times where he was intimate with 12 only. He only drew away with them. Some of you have had the privilege of being discipled by Jesus through someone in this body. And you were in intimate discipleship. You were brought into the inner circle of discipleship. Let's say on a mission trip. You went into the tent. You know the tent I'm talking about. And you were discipled. Some of you were laughing while you were discipling, if I catch all the stories right. Some of you were giggling. Some of you were talking about future mates in that tent. But you were just being discipled. And then you were with someone that is known to God as one of his closest friends, and he came in as a quiet pastor in Mozambique, and he works with, you know, soccer things, and he has fields of pineapples that catch on fire, and, you know, it kind of looks like, wow, you know, But when he speaks from time with Jesus, and he disciples us, all of us, and sometimes we get an opportunity to have him at our house, and he disciples while he's there, and we ask him things, and sometimes he asks us things, and we pray for each other, and so on. Do you see how precious this is? You can continue with that for decades, those kinds of relationships, and gain all that you're supposed to gain. You say, well, you know, what if God calls me to some other place? Well, of course he's going to work that through, that whole deal of discipleship, and be part of it. But if he's not calling you, then he wants you to be discipled to the max so that you're strong enough to face what we're going to be facing. So you better be right on it. Because there are those that jump out of the process and they're done with the discipling, because Jesus is like, you left the disciple maker. You left the ones that were discipling in your life, and it wasn't time for you to go. But they're not listening by that point because they're so convinced. Oh, I'm going on to something better in Jesus. Well, what is it? I don't know yet. Now, you might want to run that by him one or two more times, maybe 12, maybe 15, Because if you're in a good discipling situation, you better make sure that you don't just opt out because whatever reason. Why? Because it was God's design before you were born. It was part of your legacy to be attached to another legacy and receive the benefits of that and take it seriously and not just dismiss it. Well, I didn't like that message. I didn't like the way they handled this. I didn't like the way they... All those things can be worked through. Every last one of them. All those things can be worked through. All those things can be worked through. Every last relational thing, ministry thing, it all can be worked through. Isn't that great that Jesus has that much ability to help us work through our difficulties with one another? Bear one another's burdens. That's part of that. Bearing one another's burdens. You were offended by me. That's a burden you're carrying. I can help with that. Jesus can help us both with that so that you don't end up getting off your legacy and just having an ancestry at the end of it and say, oh, I was a good churchgoer. I used to go on missions, but now I'm a good churchgoer. I don't think he wants you to go backwards, ever. Doesn't want any of us to go backwards. But that's not what I was going to talk about. That was just an introduction. 2003. I'm asking the Lord in 2003. You can see how the supernatural decision-making is going to weave into this. Disciple-making, supernatural decision-making. They weave together. All these things aren't separate topics. They all weave together in Holy Spirit. So kind of keep that in the back of your mind, what you know about supernatural decision-making that's been shared here. 2003, I'm asking God, is this the year I'm supposed to step out of teaching elementary students? Enjoy teaching, have fun with teaching, probably a little bit too much fun at times. The students respond to me. They want to stay in my classroom at lunchtime and hang out with me rather than go be with their friends on the playground. At that point in my career, and I'm like, what is wrong with these children? That they want to stay in from recess with me voluntarily. It's supposed to be a punishment. To stay in with me from recess, I have no punishment at lunchtime now. Because some of them are asking, can I get my lunch and come eat with you? Can I get my lunch and come eat with you? Don't you have something better to do? Like go to the lunchroom with your friends and go out to the playground with your friends? I just want to come in here and talk with you. So they come in, we joke around, we talk, they sometimes share deep things in jest, and I'm realizing it, and I'm trying to encourage them without letting the other kids know this is serious, what they're talking. I mean, it's like a ministry time I couldn't have dreamed of. They're being drawn to me, and I'm in amazement because the Lord said, you're going to step out of this. Before you get your 30 years in, you're going to step out of teaching. And I have this starting to go on in my life. The last year of my teaching was the best ministry I ever had with the staff because we got hit with our little elementary school with such a situation they couldn't even begin to deal with it. I was praying over crying janitors, praying over crying teachers. Teachers would just come up and give me a great big hug just for a second to get centered. It was such a terrible thing that happened in our little old school. And I'm going to leave that at some point. So I'm asking in 2003, is this the year I'm supposed to step out of teaching? Where we already have frontline. We've had frontline since 1995. The Bible study was going on. We were taking mission trips. We'd become an official ministry. I know I'm supposed to step out before my 30 years comes up, but what year do I step out? I know from the past I'm not supposed to depend on visions alone because they can't be trusted. Really? If they're truly from the Holy Spirit, any word of the Lord can be trusted. And it will match up with the Bible if it's truly something the Holy Spirit puts his stamp of approval on. And counsel. If those kind of line up, then, you know, what else are you going to go on? You're going to go on something that the Lord speaks to you. If it's a vision, a dream, a picture, he's going to increase that in the last days. Why would he increase something that's so unreliable? But at that point in my life, what I'd been taught from others was be careful. Be careful. You don't just want to get a couple dreams and a vision and step out into that. Well, if they're from God, truly from God, and the counsel in my life is seeing that, which it was at that time, the word of God was agreeing with it, well, go. I mean, it doesn't take much. But I'm saying, well, Lord, I don't know what year I'm supposed to step out. So he was faithful as faithful can be. Many of you know that I had a cliff vision, a soccer vision, and a vision and a dream in a tent. I better make that correction. It's a dream, not a vision. In a tent. I have three visions. I could go through those, but you can check other recordings we have on those. God was so faithful to make it so clear, and he repeated them for me. And he still does to this day. If something's from him, he's so gracious just to repeat it for me. And he'll do it for you. He'll keep repeating the things he releases to you, and sometimes he adds another little chapter to it. This is called the good life. This is called the good life. This is called the supernatural good life. You don't want the good life of the world. Fancy house, two cars in a garage, both of them work. And you have room for them in the garage. Have some kids. You know? Go on vacation once or twice a year. Good life, right? Have enough money to take care of all this stuff. Good life. That's not the good life. It's not high enough. It's not great enough. It's not a legacy life. That's an ancestry life. Is it bad to have those things? No. God will give you those things. You might be shooting, you know, a little lower, and he gives you something higher. You go, wait a minute. I don't need a house this nice. I'm giving it to you. What are you going to do with it? Give it away? Well, if your pastor just say, you might. So this is a good life. He's giving guidance through dreams and visions and pictures, just like he says he'll increase in the last days in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2. This is the good life to live this way. Prophetic words in your life. They're not supposed to be the exception. They're supposed to be the rule so that we can walk in it and step in it. And I start experiencing this to the max in 2003. And I'm like blown away. I ask a question and God is authoritatively answering it in the most beautiful way, the most precious way. So I have a couple of those in the spring, but I'm not entirely convinced yet. I don't feel like I've had the last word on the subject, even though it sure looks like it's leaning that way. So I do a prophetic act and take out the desk that I bought from Washington High School and took it out to Tuslaw when Washington High School closed their doors right inside Maslin. They had a big sale, and they had teacher desks, and you could get them for a song. And I had the most solid teacher desk, and I took it out to Tuslaw. I pulled that out of my room the last day I was there before I went into summer vacation, and I took it home. And I just thought, God, if you want this to stay at home, then this will be the year I stay at home and end my teaching career before the magic 30 and all the good stuff kicks in. And sure enough, that summer I have a dream in a tent about my superintendent, and I end up realizing this is the final word from God. He means it. And yet Frontline is not bringing in a source of income. We're a group that raised money for mission trips and took the mission trip. We didn't even have an offering at the Bible study except for Compassion Child, and we were unfortunately not that faithful with the Compassion Child. We'd suddenly realize, oh man, we've got to send 3 months of support. We forgot to support the one person in the world we're truly financially responsible for. But he made it through. Compassion took care of him, and we caught up with all our support. But that's the offering we took. And I'm stepping out to become full-time in ministry. And yet, because of these words, it was like, this is the good life. This is the good life. I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know what Pastor Mary Pat's going to eat. Our children, they were still eating. Woo. Troy was coming over as well. It's like, oh my gosh. But I could have thought about that, but instead I was looking at these visions and say, how can you deny this? How can this not be? And it'll free me up for all this ministry. Well, God, you've got to take care of the financial part. And he did. He did. He was faithful. We didn't have a church till 2005. There were no tithes and offerings, maybe some offerings towards mission trips, but that was about it. Had a little bit of support, but someone canceled it. So you're like, this is the good life. This is part of the legacy. Who else stepped out from prosperity to desert? Abraham. Wow. This is good company. Who had to go through tough times after receiving amazing dreams and getting a coat to prove it? Joseph. And his life went to the dogs after he has these dreams. It's almost like you'd like to say, take them back, take them back. take them back. It caused me nothing but harm. And yet God fulfills those in his life because he backs up what he tells us. And he wants to speak more to us in these days. He wants to release more to us in these days. This is the good life. If you've heard from God more than once, I know you heard from God if you were born again. So that's the once. You always have that one. I came to Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus. I asked him to forgive me of my sins. He did. He brought me into his family. Holy Spirit moved in, and I changed. You had an encounter with God. But the idea is to have an ongoing encounter with God, having dreams, pictures, visions weaved in, words from the Bible that Holy Spirit says, pay attention to this. This is your life right now. This is what you're going to obey, and it's going to change everything. This is what you're going to receive as an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be blown out of the water, and so are other people, because it's not just for you. You're going to edify the saints. You're going to preach the gospel in places that you never thought you would go. Of course that's for you. Of course that's for you. I'm not going to waste my legacy on just keeping it to myself. I'm going to pour it out on you. I'm going to pour out what God has poured out on me, on you. But you have to say, wow, I value that because it's from God. Not because it's from Bill, from the pastor, you know, a dime and a cup of coffee, from the pastor. It's not the title, it's not the role. It's what I can release to you that he's released into me and through to you. And then you have a